As you look at the two scriptures behind me, these are scriptures that most of us have seen many times in our lives. We all understand that the way of man is not in himself. It is not man who walks to direct his own steps. Of course, this is true in the physical realm. It's also true in the spiritual realm. But for most of us, it's everybody else but not me. I know where I'm going. I know the direction that I'm in. If I were to die today, I know I would be saved. But you know something, brethren? People are saying that all over the city of Denver this morning. In every different congregation, in every different belief system that there is, everybody thinks it's somebody else. And that's why it is so important for us to take this personally. And think about it very carefully. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not man in man who walks to direct his own steps. And yet, even with the scriptures, as we struggle and strive to direct our steps, we still find ourselves, and we certainly find other people who are still walking in the wrong direction. And so, as we've read many times in the scriptures, pride goes before destruction, or self-confidence. And so it's very wise to be humble, because the outcome is very serious. If we are traveling to a destination and we get lost and we are some late, maybe we don't get to go at all, but it is not a devastating blow. But if we stand before God in judgment, and Jesus said, "I never knew you." If we stand before God in judgment and we find out that we didn't find the narrow way, we were not walking the proper path, we will have no one to blame but ourselves, because we all have the scriptures. It is a sad reality that many people, through their prejudices, through their stubbornness, they cannot see the truth. And so this lesson this morning is not designed so much for everyone else. It's designed for you to take it to heart and for me to take it to heart. And it's designed for us to try to understand, what exactly does God expect of us then? If it is not in man to direct his own steps, and if there can be a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death, what can we do about it? And maybe more importantly, what have we done about it, and what are we doing about it? Because as I said a moment ago, most religious people are quite convinced that they're heading in the right direction. And it's amazing how easy it is for us to see everyone else who's going in the wrong direction without making the possible application that it could be me. That this verse could, in fact, be me at this very moment. And that I could find myself in a situation where I think I'm going to heaven, but I'm not. Now, these passages make it very clear that the grace of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God cannot go 100% to bring us to salvation. We have a responsibility. And so, as we look at some of the things the Lord has said, let's ponder this verse for just a few moments. The lamp of the body is the eye. And what Jesus is saying here is that the light of this world, spiritually and materially, cannot enter the mind except through the eye. The mind's eye, remember Paul telling us in Ephesians chapter 1, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. There is an eye that walks by faith and not by sight. There is an eye that doesn't look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, because the things that are seen are temporary and the things that are not seen are eternal. And Jesus is telling us that either one of those lamps, the lamp of the body that sees the physical light, avoids the pews, avoids the pitfalls, avoids the stumbling blocks, but then there's a spiritual eye as well. And so, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Now, this is a fixed spiritual reality that none of us can avoid. If we do not know the truth, if we are not striving with all of our hearts to assess, reassess, study the scriptures like the Bereans, searching every day to make sure that what we believe is really in the scriptures and what we have heard today is really in the scriptures. Because Jesus warns in verse 35, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Now, as I said a moment ago, as we look at other people, we see them clearly. And we see the scriptures in light of them clearly. And so I can tell you that person's in darkness, that person's in darkness. But what about me? What about you? What about us individually? Where are we right now? Are you in the light or are you in the darkness? And if you say I'm in the light, then as Jesus said, you better take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Because verse 36, if your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Now, of all people, Jesus would be the one to tell us this because he is the light of the world. He saw everything clearly. He came from heaven. He came from God. He never sinned. He knew the truth. He understood the scriptures. He understood right from wrong. But the people he was preaching to, he found to be in the darkness. And this warning in Luke chapter 11, verses 34 through 36, is not simply for the Pharisees. It's not simply for the Sadducees or the Herodians or the people who have heard his words and have not accepted them. It is also for the people who have heard his words and have accepted them. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, if you hear these things, but you don't do them, you're like a foolish man who is building his house on the rock, or excuse me, on the sand, and your house will fall. Well, we need to make personal applications of this, brethren, because I don't know about you, I'm not quite ready to say I know everything yet, and I know that I am perfectly seeing everything clearly. I understand, as you should understand, that we must be taking the scriptures and we must be making applications day in, day out, hourly, and minute by minute. And it's a very cumbersome thing to do. But brethren, it's the difference, I guess, between being out on a trail you've never been before, where there is no real guidance, and maybe the trail ends, and now you're trying to figure out, what do? Do I have to turn around and go back? Can I go forward? Where should my next path, or excuse me, what direction should I go in next? And that's how life is. We're used to freeways. When I move to a new town, the first thing I do is I learn which highways and freeways are going north-south and which ones are going east-west. Then I build a grid, and then slowly over time I figure out which streets that I would take if I'm not going to be on the freeway, and pretty soon I don't get lost in that town anymore. But you know something? Life's not like that. Life is not four-lane freeways that we can fix ourselves. Jesus said it's actually a straightened and narrow way, and it's very difficult to stay on that path. And so God has given us the tools, both in the material realm and in the spiritual realm. If I get lost in the woods, God gave lights in the firmament of the heaven, first to divide the day from the night, and secondly to be for signs and seasons and for days and years. If I get lost, I can watch the sun. When the sun sets, I know where west is. I can watch the moon. When the moon rises, I know where the east is. When it sets, I know where the west is. If there's no moon, then I have stars. There is a North Star. There is a Southern Cross. As people are out in the midst of the ocean, they always know where they are because God has given lights in the heavens for days, but also for signs. And so if we are in the wilderness, we can never really get lost because of those lights that God has put up into the sky. Now, before we go into the woods, though, we better know how to read those signs. We better understand when you're getting ready to take a journey, you better do everything possible because you may never get there. And if you don't get there, it's because you might die in the wilderness. And so we're only safe where we know where we are in reference to where we are going. And if we're not, we're lost. Now that's true in the material realm, and everybody can see that. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, the same thing is true. Through your precepts I get understanding. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Therefore I hate every false way. Now, brethren, let's be honest with ourselves. How carefully have we taken this to heart? How often do you read the scriptures? Not just to pass the time, but to try to figure out if you're going in the right direction. How often do we reevaluate our weaknesses and go back to the scriptures to see if we are growing out of them or if we're becoming more and more embedded in them? How often are we looking at the doctrines that we believe, trying to determine from the scriptures with our new maturity that we've gained maybe over the last few years, whether or not we expect this of people in error? We expect them to see the scriptures and come out of error. But what about us? What if we're in error? What if we had been born into the Catholic Church? What if we had been born into the Mormon Church? Or into a church that is not teaching the truth in this area or that area or in multitudes of areas? What would God expect of us? And those of us who are in the Church of Christ who are so convinced that we are in the right, but if we're acting the same way they are, we may find, and we see this all over the country today, that churches of Christ are veering off in very different directions, but the people are not staying with the scriptures, and so they're being led off. As Jesus said, and we'll look at this verse in a few moments, if the blind are leading the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Now, I don't have a lot of control over whether the person guiding me is blind or not, but I certainly don't need to be blind myself. I certainly don't need to be blindly following what somebody else is saying, and myself included. I get up and preach here twice a week. I teach classes here, but I'm expecting you not to be blind. I'm expecting you to take these scriptures that you are looking at, write them down. If you're confused, write them down. If they have an application, go home, learn them, and begin your own personal walk to heaven with God. I can guide you, but it's up to you to go to the scriptures and learn the truth yourself. Even Jesus made it very clear, I'm not going to be here forever. He told them, while you have the light, you better walk in the light, or you will find yourself in the darkness. This man said, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. When we're in the woods and we're lost, we have a compass, we're constantly looking at the compass, we're trying to figure out, okay, where am I going to go? A compass isn't much good if you don't know what direction you need to go in, because you'll know it's west, but you won't know where west is going to take you unless you have some idea of a map or an idea of where it is you're trying to go. If you don't know where you're trying to go, then a compass can do you no good at all. You'll know you're going west, but you're still lost because you don't know where west is going to take you. And a lot of people in this world, they don't know where they are, what the direction they're supposed to go in is. And of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through me. But there are multitudes of interpretations of what Jesus has said. But the truth is, as he said in John chapter 8, verse 32, if you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In other words, Jesus makes this a personal responsibility for each of us. We are not going to get to heaven congregationally or globally. We are not going to get to heaven as a class. We are going to get to heaven as an individual. And each one of us has an opportunity and an ability that differs from others. Some of us are very intelligent. Some of us are not. Some of us have been studying the Bible for many, many years. Some of us have not. Each of us is expected to walk to the degree that we have attained. And so even though I may be walking on the level of other people, God may be saying, you shouldn't be there. You're following this person, but you are far, far ahead of this person in every way. And by following them, you are not going to finish your race with the speed that you should have finished. And maybe you're not going in the right direction at all. So I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Now, do we see a continuity here? that this man is constantly, before he takes the next step, he studies the scriptures. Because your testimonies are my meditation, I have understanding. Now, if I wasn't doing that, if I'm not doing what this man, it's wonderful to read these wonderful accounts and then tell ourselves, that's where I am too. Because I just read that. But you know something, brethren? As I said a moment ago, everybody thinks that. And we know not everybody is right. So what about us? We can see the fallacies in other people, but what about us? And so that's why this is such a critical thing that we need to do. Here's our spiritual compass. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, those are beautiful thoughts, aren't they? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. But what does it mean? How are you doing it? How am I doing it? As I look at this verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, how do I know if I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart unless I'm reading the scriptures, which is where my faith is supposed to come from and where it's supposed to direct me, and then set aside my own understanding as I trust in the Lord? But that's never going to happen unless we decide at some point in our life, I'm going to start reading the scriptures every day. And I'm going to start making application of those scriptures as I read them. And I'm going to find out whether I'm leaning on my own understanding or whether I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart by comparing my thoughts with the scriptures, by comparing my actions with the scriptures, by comparing my beliefs with the scriptures. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. Well, what does that mean? How do I acknowledge him in all my ways? That doesn't mean I get up in the morning and I pray to God, Father, I want to acknowledge you today. Acknowledging God in all my ways means that I dare not try to take one step alone. The point is pretty clear, and God's going to judge us on this on the judgment day. It isn't going to matter whether we're in the right church or not if we are not individually doing the things that make us the church. Because the church is not an organization or an institution per se, it's individuals that make it up. And at some point, as the individuals shift away from the truth, the church becomes an unfaithful congregation, even though it still has the right name and maybe it's going through all the right motions. That's what Jesus told the church at Ephesus. You've done this, you've done this, you've done this, but I have one thing against you. You've left your first love, and if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. So they were doing all the right things in all the right ways, but they were right on the cusp, right on the verge of falling off, of sinking into the abyss. In all your ways, acknowledge him is much more complicated than most of us would give it credit. And most of us really aren't doing it. We are acknowledging him in some of our ways, but do we really go through our lives with a fine-tooth comb? As we look at our family relationships, as our relationships with the lost, as our relationships with our brethren in our workplace, are we really, truly acknowledging him in all our ways at work, at home, in the church, in our godliness and our personal walk with God? Are we really acknowledging him? Are we praying without ceasing? Are we giving thanks for everything? Are we never forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? Are we manifesting our love and our patience and our devotion in our families and our diligence in our workplace? This is how we acknowledge God in all our ways. And it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment practice that some people have gotten into the habit of and some people have not. Some people lean on their own understanding most of the time. They don't have enough scripture in their mind to be able to acknowledge him. They don't have enough scripture in their mind to be able to trust him in everything because they don't really know. And that's when Jesus said, be careful that the light that is in you is actually not darkness. And this is the biggest concern that I see in the world today, is that people claim to acknowledge God in all their ways without going to the scriptures to see if they are acknowledging him in all their ways. And then telling themselves, God will take care of the rest. When God never said he would do that. God said, I will cover you in those areas where you cannot do what needs to be done. But I still expect you to do everything. That's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1. that we have to add on our part. God has done his part. We have his precious and exceeding great promises. We have his eternal power and divine power that has been given to us. But we have to do our part. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, how wonderfully those words come out of our tongues. I'm not wise in my own eyes. And yet we turn right around. And instead of doing what God says to do, we come up with an excuse to do it our way. God says whenever you sin, you need to confess. Whenever you sin against someone, you need to confess. But we've pretty well found a way not to have to do that all the time because we lean on our own understanding. And we're not fearing the Lord or departing from evil. So in order to trust God's guidance, in order to trust God's guidance, I have no idea what that next sentence is. I know when I wrote it I did, but the one who gave the starts for orientation. Oh, the stars. Take the T out. Is the same one who gave us the scriptures. When I'm lost, I look for the North Star. I look for the setting of the sun. I look for the rising of the sun or the rising or setting of the moon. I know I can trust them. It's just natural. Now you say, well, how often have you been lost like that? Well, probably never. But if I ever was lost, I'd know what to do. Because we're not in that situation. We have roads. We have roads that are going north, south, east, west. And we can generally orient ourselves pretty quickly. But not if you're out lost in the wilderness. The key, though, is trust. You have to trust. Because it's more complicated than a compass. I like this verse because it's a paradox. It's one of those things you got to keep trying to understand. How can you look at the things that are not seen? And how do you know if you're seeing the things that are not seen clearly? We don't look at the things which are seen, Paul said. We don't trust the things that are seen. We don't trust human wisdom. We don't trust the culture we were raised in. We don't trust the vain manner of life handed down from our fathers to us. We don't trust the manner and methods by which we have successfully navigated life up to this point, because the scriptures tell us that we have sinned and that our flawed, our thinking is flawed in many ways. And that's what Jesus warned us about. Be careful that the light you think is in you is not darkness. Many of us are looking at unseen things that don't even exist. Many people are waiting for a rapture that doesn't even exist. Many people are looking forward to living on the earth forever and ever, a promise which doesn't even exist. They are looking at unseen things that aren't there. That's a scary thought. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Well, Paul, how in the world can we do that with confidence? Because we can't see them. Well, the things that are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, then we have a great responsibility to walk by faith and not by sight. How in the world are we going to do that? Well, it starts with one small step. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now, we're not talking about the things we already know. I mean, most of us are 99, well, I won't go that far, but most of us are 90% right most of the time in our convictions and our views. And many people in the denominations are also right 90% of the time. It's that 10% that we really have to be careful of, and that's the part we don't really know, and we have to go to the scriptures to make sure that we're right in those areas. So Paul says that we have a grave responsibility. Now, the more we trust God's guidance, the more of the unseen we see, and the more of the real unseen that we see, and not the pretend unseen that we see. If we go to various cultures and we look at their religions, the religion of the Buddhists, the religions of the Confucius or the Islam, we see people who see the unseen. And they are absolutely convinced. These men that are blowing themselves up are seeing the unseen of a harem with all of these wonderful women that are going to be theirs as soon as they explode that bomb and kill themselves and all of those people. And we look at that and we think to ourselves that that's a figment of their imagination. But brethren, how many of those do we have? Because we haven't learned how to see the unseen. And brethren, this is a very critical point, because if we don't get our knowledge from the Scriptures, we don't know the truth. And if we don't know the truth, then many of the things that we think we can see that are unseen, they're not even there. How would you like to live your whole life and go before God on the judgment day and hear that your service to me was worthless? I never knew you. Depart from me. You worked lawlessness. How can that happen? And yet Jesus says many will be there on the judgment day. Many of the people who think they're his disciples are seeing the unseen that doesn't exist. And they're practicing things that they should not be practicing. We can never be complacent, brethren. The pastor that's just is like the shining sun. Why? Because we're using the light every single day. We're studying it, we're reading it, we're thinking about it. You remember what God told Joshua? This word shall not depart from your mouth. You will meditate on it day and night so that you can be careful to observe all the things that I have commanded you. What a great philosophy of life, and that's the one we need to take on. If you want to see clearly all the time, then meditate on God's word day and night. Because the very moment you stop thinking about God's word is the very moment that you can veer off into a direction that you never should have gone in, and you may die in that. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Now, brethren, how in the world can we figure out the difference? If we're in the darkness, then we don't know we're stumbling. How do I move from the darkness into the light? How do I move from the seen to the unseen that is really unseen and not just a figment of somebody else's imagination? You know, people that aren't Christians, they feel sorry for us because we're living a life of a lie. We're living a life of superstition and myth, a crutch. None of these things exist. There's no God. There's no heaven. There's no Jesus. There's no miraculous. There's no miracles. There's no resurrection. You people are duped. And we look at them and we shake our heads and we say, no, we're not the ones that are duped. You're the ones that are duped. And I'm not trying to make this difficult, but I really want to strip away all of our defenses and help us to actually see, where really am I today? And where is it that I've gotten these convictions? As I said earlier, we all were raised from the vain manner of life handed down from our fathers. You say, well, my parent was a Christian. Well, they were a Christian, but you know something? They didn't make it all the way. And everything they taught you as a child doesn't necessarily have to be correct. And as I said a moment ago, there are many churches of Christ in the world today who are not churches of Christ. They just have a name, but they don't have any of the practices. They're not doing what the Scriptures actually say. And Jesus has removed their candlestick. Have you thought about this passage? Those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sunday. They were hearing those prophets. They were reading the truth, but they didn't know. They did not know Jesus. They did not know the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath. Therefore, they fulfilled them. Can you imagine what the Jews must have thought when they died and found out that they'd crucified their own Messiah? And that the church they had been persecuting, you remember how Paul felt when he realized that the church he was persecuting was actually the Lord's church and that they were fighting against God, like Gamaliel said in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Leave these men alone. If they are servants of the Most High God, you cannot overthrow it. And if not, it'll be overthrown. Leave them alone. And yet most of them died having fulfilled the very prophecies that they thought they believed. They were the ones. They're reading these prophets. These prophets are being read to them, and they're the very ones who did the things that they've been hearing in the prophets, and they can't see it. Talk about a darkness. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is. Now again, this is a wonderful passage to read, but when's the last time you actually did that? You actually went back and looked at the old paths. What does the Lord actually say about my marriage? My being a husband or a wife versus the way my marriage is actually going. When's the last time we did that? We stood in the ways and we looked back and we said, here's the good way. This is how Ephesians chapter 5, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wives as your own bodies. Wives, be in submission to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that the way? Are we standing in the ways and looking at those old paths and saying, I'm going to walk in that? No, brethren, a lot of us are saying, just like the Jews said, I'm not going to walk in that. I'm going to lean on my own wisdom. Or we read it and then we forget it as quickly as we can so we don't have to feel guilty about it anymore. And that's just one thing. But you talk about your family relationship. You talk about working on the job. Are we really asking for the old paths the way we work for our employer? Are we truly asking for the old paths in the way that we are living our lives morally and ethically? The old paths have been shifted so drastically in the last few years. Last, what, 50 years, 60 years? Those old paths don't even exist in the secular world anymore. We've got to go back all the way to the scriptures now. We can't even go back to, well, this is how they did it in the 40s and 50s, which is probably wrong to begin with, but we read, stand in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, and then, are we doing it? Is that really what we're doing? I've set a watchman over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not listen. Jesus is our watchman today, and the trumpet is being blown right now, as his word is being proclaimed, and you just have to listen whether it's blowing for you or not. Now, we've already dealt with this verse, so I'm going to skip through it. But the next verse, let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. This is Jesus' concern for all of us. We can't avoid blind leaders from time to time. Can't avoid it. There are preachers who are going bad. There are preachers who are wrong in certain things. I can be wrong in certain things. And if you follow me, if I'm blind in this one area, I need you to show me. I need you to show me that so I can see. I don't need you to follow me so that we both end up in the ditch. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will. And approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. And you know, when Paul wrote that, not a one of them was any of these things. They thought they were. They were so blind. And this is a danger we all face because we're members of the Church of Christ. We're members of the one true church. Everything that we know is true. And yet, multitudes of people who are saying that are just as blind as these people are. And you say, it can happen to everyone else, but it'll never happen to me. And how foolish we are if we think like that. So how do we avoid that? Well, we start using the tools that God has given to us, and the most important tool we can use is reading the scriptures day by day, memorizing the things that are critical to us as we find them, writing them down, remembering them, looking for those old paths so that we can walk in them, looking for the light, being careful that the light that is in us is not darkness by comparing what we believe with what the scriptures actually see or actually teach, making certain that the things that are unseen that we're looking at are really there. This is important. And so, brethren, as we wind our lesson down now, we have some decisions to make. This was a lesson that I purposely designed to make us all uncomfortable, and I hope you are a little uncomfortable. Not at me, but at yourself. I don't want you to be, oh, this sermon, boy, this is that guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, That's certainly one way, and there may be some people here are going to leave here thinking just like that. I know everything. I don't need this sermon. I'm a teacher of the blind, or I'm a guide to the blind, and I'm everything those Jews were. I don't need to look at the scriptures. You know, the moment we start thinking like that, we're in big trouble. That's arrogance. Pride goes before destruction. None of us are in that position. And so, as we pick up our songs, our songbook this morning, and we turn to number 276, and we think about the power in the blood, is that power really working in your life? Have you done the things necessary? Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. If we have not believed and been baptized by Jesus' own words, we are lost, regardless of what we think about ourselves and regardless of what we've been taught by other people. If you're going to have other people teaching you things that contradict the statements of the Lord, Jesus said, the word that I have spoken will judge you in the last day, not the words of that preacher. Not the words of the individual you're listening to, my words. And so, as we sing this song, if there's anyone in the audience who recognizes a need to obey the gospel this morning, or who recognizes a need to confess some sin, but the purpose of the lesson wasn't really designed for that. The purpose of this lesson was designed for us to go home and honestly reflect on some of the key questions we asked here. Do I think I'm a guide to the blind? Do I think that I hold the form of godliness and that I am a righteous man? Do I think I'm walking in the light? Is the light that is in me truly light? Am I really looking for the old paths where the good way is? Do I actually read the scriptures about my personal life and make those changes? Brethren, if we're not doing those things, we're just deceiving ourselves. We think that we're in the light, but we're not. And we need to repent and be like the Bereans and search the scriptures every day to see whether these things are so. And if we can help you in any way after this sermon, would you please let us know by coming forward as we together stand and sing.